Whose Rights, Which Rights? Global Contestations of Women's and Gender Rights.
Gender has long been a reason of structural, institutional and sociocultural inequality, as you can see from the following examples. Women's strikes to March 8 all over the world, fights against the abolition of abortion rights or the worsening situation for the queer community in the USA, demonstrations against paragraph 219a in Germany, which have been successful kind of by the way, or movements against sexualized violence and femicides like Ni Una Menos in Latin America. These are just a few of the many growing movements for women and LGBTIQ rights within a, at the moment, kind of worsening situation for different reasons. Since October 2020, an interdisciplinary group has been conducting research at the Center for Interdisciplinary Research at Bielefeld University on the topic of global contestations of women's and gender rights to take a look and discuss all these topics within the academic sphere and beyond. And that's why we thought a podcast would be the perfect place to bring the research results to anyone who's interested. The research group is led by Dr. Alexandra Scheele, Professor Julia Roth and Professor Heidemarie Winkel, all from Bielefeld University. And today we come together again with two of them to talk about the outcomes and main findings, as well as the challenges and the future perspective. My name is Katharina Usling, and I'm really glad to host this podcast once again. And I welcome Dr. Alexandra Scheele and Professor Julia Roth. Thanks for being here again.
Thank you, Katharina.
So it's been a while since this research group started its work and we this podcast. And if your listeners want to know more about the work of Alexandra Scheele, Heidemarie Winkel and Julia Roth, you can skip to our first episode where each of you three talks about her project within the TIF group, or your listeners can find the link to their homepages in our show notes under this episode. So the research group has been working on the topic of global contestations for over a year. There have been workshops and conferences, and now in March is the closing conference. So where does the research group currently stand, and what main results can you present, Julia?
Well, on a very output-oriented level, we can proudly say that our collected volume has just been published with Transcript Publishers and Bielefeld University Press. It is available online, and there you can see contributions by all our fellows, also joint articles, which was one of the things we found important for this interdisciplinary scope of the group, but also an introduction where we delineate the main points and areas and fields that we found important. We also are about to publish a special issue for the Femina Politica journal that's about to come out soon about violence, because this was an aspect that we think we did not have the time to focus enough on during the actual time of the research group. That's why we're very glad to also be able to do this in form of this journal and also see whether maybe further activities result from that. Furthermore, fellows have published joint articles in a variety of journals. Also, they held conference papers together and media contributions such as blog entries, interviews, radio contributions were something that we did and also many of the fellows did in relation to the research group and their specific expertises or fields of expertise or also contexts.
Okay, so you mentioned the publication and you said it's online, but will it also be available here at the library at Bielefeld University because we are in the building?
Yes, there is also a hard copy, so to say, like a paper copy, and this has also been delivered just this week.
Nice, because I like to look in the hard copy. Yeah, and maybe can you summarize a bit the content of this publication, maybe, I don't know, three main results.
Or results? I mean, I have the table of contents here from the book presentation, actually.
Or what you want to highlight.
What I want to highlight, yes. One point I think that's important is the topic that also is the sort of the title of the first part, framing the global contestations of women's and gender rights. So the importance of frames. So because we have seen in our research that the language of rights and freedom, oftentimes also of women's rights and gender rights, is often used for very different aims. So the question of framing in this sense, to use a multi-perspectively constituted framing, I think is important also for the analytical framing. So we have focused, as we have emphasized in the first podcast, also on three empirical arenas, citizenship, religion, and labor. And also the reproduction of inequalities was another important aspect, I would say, institutionalized power relations, in which we also spoke about different notions of the family in different contexts, the important role of religion in many contexts, also for rights. So this differs, I think, across the line. Also global divisions of labor and reproductive chains were a point that Alexandra and some fellows focused on, for example. Post-conflict gender inequalities in Nigeria was also one field that has been mentioned. So these diverse aspects related to that. And then also the negotiating the global and local production of normativities was a central point in the research group, but also in the volume, I think. So that while we are interested in the fact that there is a worldwide, I think, phenomenon of the contestation of women's and gender rights, we also have to take the local and context-specific aspects into and dimensions into account, but also the tensions that result from that, maybe.
So you can see a few of these topics we crossed in this podcast as well. So if your listeners are interested, take a look into the publication online or in the library as you want to. And because today is also kind of a meetup podcast where we talk about the work methods and elaborate on that a bit. Alexandra, to you the question, the research group is not only made of several scientists, but it's also international and interdisciplinary, which is maybe not ordinary for research groups and this topic, but also important. So what challenges did you face, and perhaps not only in terms of working methods and collaboration, but also in terms of content?
Well, yeah, one can say on the one hand that, of course, the global composition of the group, since we had really fellows from, I would say, many, many parts of the world, from South America, from the US, from the African continent, from Asia, from other European countries, of course, well, that this might be a challenge. But in fact, actually, we realized, since we are talking and analyzing gender as this kind of central cultural component of social order, we realized this is a global phenomenon. So it was really easy to talk to each other despite all these kind of formal national borders, so to say. So that was, I think, not only what we planned at the beginning, the composition of the group was already a decision made before, and that we thought, well, if we are talking about the global contestations of women's and gender rights, of course we need to have a global perspective. But during our joint work, it came out that it's not only that we want this kind of global perspective and global viewing and global analysis, but that it really makes sense in better understanding what is happening globally, and also to see the connections between developments in one country and another country, and also the cross-national, so to say, or cross-specific phenomena such as alliances of the right-wing populist actors, especially Julia and Birgit Sauer and others were working on. So to see that they are alliances which do not really stop at the border, at the national border, but which really use somehow also the global world as a field of activism, right-wing activism.
So maybe you can see that as well in highlighting that an intersectional feminist perspective is so important, which many of the fellows did in this podcast.
Absolutely, absolutely. So one cannot... Well, we were very often asked, like, somehow where we are now really talking about women's and gender rights. So women's rights seem to be a kind of essentialist approach, which we definitely did not take on. So from the beginning, we understood, of course, well, women as an intersectional category and gender as well. And so this was all over the work of the research group really a point to see the intersections of gender with class, with ethnical background, with location, with education, with age, and so on. So, and especially one has to highlight, since our co-convenia Heidemarie Winkel is unfortunately not here today, but especially also in regards to religion, that this is really such an important point if we look at gender issues and gender conflicts.
Yeah, and we kept emphasizing in the podcast that these are issues that affect everyone globally, as you said, and that's why it's so important to draw attention away from the university and academic discourses. Maybe you can summarize for us again why it is urgent now to discuss this beyond the academic sphere.
Well, I think it always is, ideally, or I see academia as a place that should communicate with other contexts also. But I see, I mean, the phenomena we are facing are taking place also in academia, of course. I mean, gender studies are also attacked in many places, like our fellow Andrea Petrő from Hungary experienced that the gender studies were sort of abolished there by the Orbán regime. But also as a very central phenomenon in many contexts that are important for society. And I think in my work personally, I have also delineated a certain conjuncture that we see, which means that we see the combination of contradictions in many, many places. And here, gender is so central to negotiate very different topics and orchestrate them in also in the public sphere about a common sense, about what is a norm, but also topics such as demography, immigration or anti-immigration, for example, but also the distribution of resources, of social welfare, but also jobs and so on. And I think that gender here functions as an arena. So often gender means more than what's actually addressed. But also a meta language to talk about these issues, and also an effective bridge to position people effectively in this highly polarized climate that we see. And I think gender here is so useful because it is already something we all feel effectively attached to, and that's sort of polarizing because people have these emotional responses or affective ties. And saying that because I think it is a topic that we all need to face. And other aspects, such as also increasing and continuous violence, such as you mentioned femicides in the beginning, that we see in all contexts, basically, maybe.
Yeah. And besides that, we are confronted with more and more new issues which are related to issues which have been there already. And yeah, as you said, we are facing it globally. And how can that succeed? What is necessary for that from your perspective, Alexandra?
Still, well, we are academics in a way. So of course we are, well, not of course, but unfortunately, we are not really writing a kind of political program. But what our collaborative work showed about trying to build up alliances, like providing somehow the academic knowledge on the one hand, but all the time trying to transfer this kind of academic knowledge in the public, and also to support actors who are on the streets. And of course, we understood and understand ourselves as political persons as well. And so, of course, we support through our, I don't know, signature lists and so on. We support, of course, all these struggles. And participate partly in them. But I think our aim was mainly really to better understand the mechanisms behind. And I think very important point is really how the language of rights is also misused somehow by actors who do not really want to have more rights and fight for more rights for everybody, inclusive rights, but who are using this language of rights to exclude others and to bring forward a kind of limited understanding of rights by saying it's only for a particular group in a national context, or it's only for men. And so there are rights are used, so the language of rights is used, but not in an emancipatory way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe I think also the contestations to the contestations, as we framed it sometimes, need to be global in the way to sensitize each other for the different contexts and to go beyond the differences that exist, of course, and form strategic alliances, Alexandra mentioned, And I think this is also happening. So also take into account, this is not a one-way attack only, but we do see in many contexts feminist movements. You mentioned the Una Menos in Latin America, but there's the Black Lives Matter movement also has a gender dimension, or the women's marches, the protests that we saw in Poland and in many other spaces. And they do form also a transnational alliances, and to support that and also to stand for, so to say, another understanding and for another notion of rights and the social and conviviality and so on.
Yeah, and as we see in the pandemic, for example, we see how important academic work is for the political discussion and to have arguments and facts as well to discuss on that. Maybe some of our listeners are not so familiar with university life and scientific work as well. How do you continue after the end of the research group so that the results don't just stand there? We know already that there were many publications, but how is it worked further on that, Alexandra?
So first of all, we are really happy to have the publications. We have the podcast series and we have this very informative website where one can look up all different recordings of public presentations and so on. So we really hope that this is not lost. And also, Julia mentioned already that we are planning further publications, and there will be also another public event at the end of April with Olga Sparanga from Belarus on the revolution of women. I think especially now with the Ukraine crisis, I think this talk will receive a particular attention and also might shift also from the topic from a kind of feminist movement towards a kind of, what does it mean, feminist pacifism in these times? Probably, I don't know. We will see. So we are still trying to organize, and not only trying, but we are organizing public events. And also we are still planning, since the group really worked together quite well and we were really able to bridge somehow the disciplinary differences as well as, so to say, partly the language differences, one could say. We really think we should continue our work together. And so it's planned now to discuss regularly texts online and also to present our book not only here in Bielefeld, but also like in Colombia. There's already the idea to present it there, in Brazil and in Vienna. And so we'll tour around with the book on the one hand. And I also think that we can still, through our articles and probably some lectures we are going to hold, and this is still happening, we can also bring the knowledge in. And also we are thinking of doing a kind of student seminar at the University of Bielefeld so that students can really receive more information and also especially have the opportunity to discuss the topics we think are really important to better understand the global contestations of women's and gender rights.
Yeah, absolutely. And I learned personally a lot from talking to you and the fellows. So as a former student, I would have liked the seminar to this research group. And you mentioned already the public event at the end of April. So it is at the CIF, and everyone who's interested at the research group can go to this event, right?
Definitely. Well, one has to register in advance. It's not yet clear if it will be a hybrid format. I assume so. It has to be clarified with the Suhrkamp publisher, the publisher of the book of Olga Sparanga, but it might happen. So anyways, but the CIF has a large plenary hall, and since most of the corona regulations have been reduced now, so everybody is really invited to join the event, which will be, I think, an interesting discussion.
Yeah, so if you're interested, look it up on the website of the research group. There you can find all further information for this event. And yeah, as kind of a closing to both of you, the question, what do you take away from this work and the research group for your next projects, and maybe personally, if you want to answer that as well?
Personally, yes, interesting discussions, many new insights based on the work of others and also what we discussed jointly, such as the context-specific challenges, the role of religion, different rights cultures, how important that is, economic structures for me personally. So the necessity of this global and local dimension, and also to take all the multiple perspectives into account. And furthermore, also this network of contacts. I think having such a group and the privilege of convening and being together in such a group for 10 months really sort of builds up also connections. And you asked how we will continue. Even though we are planning some events, I'm sure that through the time we have worked together, things will emerge and we will be in constant exchange and therefore continue this discussion. And there are ideas to maybe have several other little project as mentioned. But I think what is I highly value, because I like teamwork and I like networking in this productive way for such an urgent topic, of course, with all the colleagues who joined and with whom we will definitely, I think, continue this talking about and analyzing, but also trying to find ways to overcome these contestations and challenges we're currently facing, because it is pretty urgent.
Well, I will also start somehow with a personal learning from the group. I really learned a lot about the post-colonial approach, I must say, and the colonial legacies. Many of the fellows and also Julia really hinted at in many occasions. And From there, I better understand also the embeddedness of concept. Even though I knew it theoretically, it's different to better understand that I'm using sometimes to do my research. I often analyze my research interests, assuming that there is a kind of joint concept or shared concept of, for example, welfare state, or, for example, what is work and what is emancipation. And this group really showed me, no, it's not. Well, I might see it probably even as a normative framework, but it's not the reality of so many people in the world, and also not for feminists all over the world. It's not the same framework. The framework I'm using is challenged by this. And so I need to further, and I want to go further with reflecting about the terms I'm using. And the research group really showed me that one needs to be cautious about terms. One needs to be cautious about the knowledge one might already have about how the world is structured and how gender inequalities are structured, because they are manifold, they're intersectional, and they are global.
So that was our last episode to the research group Global Contestations of Women's and Gender Rights. Many exciting questions have been discussed here and far more in the research group. If you are interested in the research results, I recommend to you the publication Julia Roth and Alexandra Scheele mentioned. It is available online and will be available in the library of the Bielefeld University. Or you take a look at the website of the research group. There you can find all upcoming public events or publications and further information to the research group. We have also included this link in the show notes below. Now it only remains for me to thank Dr. Alexandra Scheele, Professor Julia Roth and Professor Heidemarie Winkel for today's discussions and all other discussions and the opportunity for this podcast. And of course you for listening. My name is Katharina Usling and I say goodbye.